This morning, I would like to hope to finish up our study on the House of Israel. And even though that we have had four parts to it, that I've only really scratched the surface. And there are so many more things that could be brought out. And I know that I have enjoyed looking over these scriptures and learned many things myself. I hope you have too, and you've enjoyed the study. And we see the similitude of how it is a blessing to the whole world. And where these things are a type of our worship, a similitude, an example of our worship and consecration unto our Lord in our lives today. And where it even shows us the present time. It's even a barometer and a forecast of the time in which we live. The study on the House of Israel. And as a matter of fact, to rather start us out this morning a little bit, that the reason I have this map up, which is the lands of inheritance that they were originally given in the land of Canaan, originally unto Abraham, and then given unto the children of Israel when they passed over Jordan and so on, that of something of current event today, something that you may have even seen on your newscast this morning, something when Jesus had talked about them being encompassed about with armies and enemies. Many times, then we see. I think that the shaping up even of the turmoil that is in and around Israel this day, and fulfilling of some of the scripture in Ezekiel and 37 through 39 that area, and Zechariah in the 12th through the 14th chapters, I believe it is, talking about the peoples that are going to be coming, her enemies of Israel coming in unto her, and then the Lord steps in as he did in days of old, protecting his people. And what you're seeing this morning in your news, and it was actually unconfirmed, but yet might yet come to pass, for the leader there in Egypt. As a matter of fact, we see the sliver of land that they were given, basically of their lands of inheritance there. Now, if we were to look at the larger scope of the Middle East and so on, and the whole area, you see where Israel is at, up in that little sliver up there, and that's only a small portion of what they're originally given, what they have today. And the state of Israel is actually, they say, about half the size of the state of Michigan, if you will, and for all those people to exist within. Now, as you can see, you know, all of the countries that are around her, Turkey and Syria and Iraq and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, and see Egypt, you see where Egypt is at, okay? See, now Egypt, they're even remarking upon the news, and this was not from a Christian news broadcast, was saying that the country of Egypt was friendly, had friendly relations, because the leader that was in Egypt now, Ismail bin Mubarak. Now, what they're calling for in the area is to take him out of power. They've already stormed the parliament building as of yesterday and today, and all the student protests and all the other people, and now the armies are basically sympathetic to the protesters, and on their side, and you see the tanks that aren't moving, they're more and more not being turned on the protesters, even though there's been beatings and so on. But this morning was unconfirmed reports where they thought that he was going to be stepping down. Now, and some might say that's a good thing. But on the other hand, what people better take a strong look at is that there's a group there called the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood was behind, when we take the Muslim faith, okay, back during the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and I believe in that time frame, a group of men that were imprisoned together, and they started developing all these ideas of jihad, holy war, and the beginnings of the Al Qaeda movement, and the other terror organizations, or the radical side of Islam, holy war. Okay? And so the Muslim Brotherhood this time is trying to gain political seat in Egypt. And now when that happens, if we take a look in the scriptures, like I said, the words of Jesus Christ, and also, of course, there are his words, yes, too, in Ezekiel and Zechariah and other places, Isaiah, about it's the other son of Abraham, the firstborn child of Abraham. He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's neighbor, and so on. Is coming to play today, you know, with the Arab world, the Muslim faith, and not in the faith itself, but the part called jihad or holy war, and because they want to see Israel, that little sliver up there, annihilated. And if you ever listen to any of the speeches of that fellow in Iran, he's like a modern day Hitler, Ahmadinejad. He would come to our shores. We are this Gentile nation, heirs of adoption yet, and those are going to be used to help bring the gospel back to the house of Israel. Okay, wherever they be dispersed, where we're going to get into shortly, onto our own soil, and basically say that the Jewish belief is a gutter religion, which part and parcel is the Christian belief, and that we are the great Satan on our own soil, and our own president would say that that's okay. And this is, I'm not talking about just the current president, I'm talking about for a little while now, whoever that to the United Nations. I'm not trying to disannul our president of any sort. And but it's kind of significant coming to the shores of the land of promise. Those are going to be used in this respect with these sort of threats to God's people. Okay? But I just wanted to bring this out. This is current event. This is what's going on today. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to know the time in which you live. And this is the time in which we live that is shaping up for this latter day work. And especially the latter day work of the Lord is what's important. He's making bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations. By all right, that little sliver right there, Israel, by all words, or the word basically entropy, okay, of how things would spiral according to how much the world and history has been against these people that have been a hiss and a byword, as the scripture said, should not exist. And so this is God's power. And we see that the only reason that little sliver really exists today is because of the government or the power, God's power, and the divine providence that has been shed upon the land which you reside now. And the latter-day work that is being engaged in, and especially the organization you belong to called the Church of Christ. God's divinely restored church to fulfill his promises and to help work in manifesting his covenants once again throughout the world, that his people will be restored wherever they may be. That's what we're visible right there, but they're scattered throughout the world, as we were talking about last week. And so we find the covenant of the last days. We've been looking at God's covenants and laws and statutes and judgments up to this point, haven't we? Now, take a look at with me, if you will, over Hebrews in the 8th chapter. I would like to... There are some very important facts that I wanted to bring up this morning. Of course, they all are very important. Hebrews 9, chapter in the 10th verse. We know the laws and covenants that He made with the children of Israel upon the mount, in the wilderness of Sinai, and so on, when they came out of Egypt. The book of Hebrews is very, very good in explaining a lot of the old covenant versus the new, the instituting of the old and the fulfilling of it and coming into the new covenant. And so we find that in verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be unto me a people." Now why would He say that? That they will be unto me a people? Well, these people have been scattered throughout the world. They've been a hiss and a byword, and by all rights have been annihilated in great numbers and tried to be wiped out and stamped out throughout time for thousands of years. But the Lord says, "I'm going to gather them." And there was a reason that we find that there was a scattering, because throughout the world. And we read a little bit out of the book of Jacob, the parable of the master in the vineyard, is a good analogy of the house of Israel and how they were planted in different parts of the earth in different periods of time. And we were reading of Lehi. He was one of them. He and his family to this portion of the earth. And so that He was going to write them in their hearts, "And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." We find in the scripture that I don't particularly have here with me this day, but one comes to mind, that when the Lord had given His original laws and covenants to them, He wrote them on tablets of what? Stone, absolutely. But He said in the latter days, "I'm going to write them on the fleshly tablets of their heart." And he's writing them into the fleshly tablets of your heart and your mind, that we may live by them. As we were talking this morning, there's the proof of the work of God in your life, that you are living by His commandments and keeping them, and that the Spirit of Christ is moving in your life, and that you are one of His children, as you are keeping His commandments. This is your witness. This is your agreement. Just as the law was read before the children of Israel, and Joshua got out the book, they got out the book of the law, and it was read before all the people, and the people said with one voice and one accord, "Yes, we will do this. Yes, we will." That needs to be our proclamation this day. Yes, we will. Yes, we will do, according to the gospel of Christ. Now, turn with me, if you will, over to Malachi, in the third chapter. And I'd like to read verse 1 through 4. Very important and key verse 2. And this has to do with the restoration of the house of Israel. And it talks about the sons of Levi. Sons of Levi, remember, were consecrated unto what work in the old law? They were the priests. That's right. They were consecrated unto the work of the temple. And so, first of all, verse 3, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, we talk about who the messenger, that he will prepare the way before him. And we know at that time, and when Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, that he was the representation of this Elijah. And "But who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand but when he appeareth?" And then he's also talking about, and his coming originally. We talk about his coming in the clouds of glory. And when we say this, is because of the facts contained in the chapter that we're in, because we, as we'll see in a moment. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And we know that the sons of Levi, their sacrifices have become polluted. And the Lord says, away with these things. I do not delight in the sacrifices of these, the blood of the rams and the goats and the bullocks and so on. And the people that went out into idolatry and abomination. And the priesthood have also become polluted. And so we know this is a time yet coming. And this is when their holy priesthood is going to be purified by fire in Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, when he talks about that, I will send my messenger, he will prepare the way before me, that we find in the third book of Nephi, where Jesus even, he taught, he said that this, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And so we believe a second manifestation of a forerunner before him, a prophet that's going to herald the way. And we even find in the, I believe in the book of 2 Nephi, another example of this as well. He was like fuller's soap, and so we find that then in verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. So their offering is going to be purified. Their hearts and minds are going to be converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what's important. And their offering of righteousness, can anybody tell me what that offering shall be? How about a broken heart and a contrite spirit? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what he accepts of us, doesn't he? These things are acceptable. The sacrifices of the Lord are these, of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If you look in the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ, he describes many of those things with us as well. Now, I'd like you to turn with me over into Isaiah. In the 4th chapter. Isaiah in the 4th chapter. And here we find actually I'm going to say probably basically we're going to stick with verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And this is when he is going, it's going to be purified. And in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to be purified by his Holy Spirit. And the spirit of true worship and of true consecration unto him. And with that broken heart and that contrite spirit. With the works of righteousness. Then will Jerusalem be purified. He talks about in the book of Ether. He talks about that Jerusalem will be a holy city unto the Lord. I believe we're going to be going there. It's one of my scriptures. It will become a holy city unto the Lord once again. When it was a holy city unto the Lord before, and I do not believe that it is now, even the Lord has got his eye upon the Spirit, even I don't have my map up there now, I have my scriptures. It was the condition of the government of Zion when his people look to him in truth and righteousness and sacrificing unto him and not unto other gods and idols. When they were truly looking to God for their sustainment and their protection and their guidance and their judgment, and not unto other nations and these other gods and their other abominations and sacrificing to them. Israel had become polluted. We even read that in the words of Paul. The words of Paul talk about things sacrificed to idols. Eating things that were sacrificed to idols. If you knowingly, you know, in ignorance, if you didn't know, he said nothing of itself is unclean. But if you knew that thing was to be sacrificed or was sacrificed to an idol, you know, a meat offering or a food offering or something and so forth, if you should knowingly, that's different. That's a sin to you. And you shouldn't partake of that. And we have things today that we look at in a different respect in our modern day way of living that have to do with false senses of worldly living that we should not be partaking in as purified people in Jesus Christ. But he is going to cleanse the daughters of Zion. And that is all of her children. Remember, God is reigning sovereign father upon them. And when you refer to the daughters of Zion, her people, and at that time they referred to basically Zion, and this is basically the bride of the Lord as his people. And today we find the same example. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And we are a representative of the bride that needs to be kept clean and our wedding garments made white in the blood of the Lamb. And so we find, as we're looking at our next slide, the restoration of Israel. And so I would like to take a turn over in, first of all, Matthew 21:43. Matthew 21:43. And so we find in here the description of Jesus Christ in Matthew 21, where he's talking about the master of the vineyard and the husbandman, where they had sent the heir to the vineyard. And those that he had lent the vineyard out to, that was for his householders, they slew the heir, Jesus Christ. And he's talking of the priesthood at that time. Caiaphas and many others and the Sanhedrin and many of Israel had rejected him. And basically, as he was saying, and in verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye ever read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, is it marvelous in your eyes? The builders, those were the ministers in Israel, those were his priesthood, those that had become polluted, those were the sons of Levi, those that were steeped in their own glory, and they loved the greetings in the streets and so on. And they wanted their pomp and their circumstance. And they rejected. They said, this is the heir. Let's seize him and kill him. Well, I believe that old Caiaphas and the rest of them, they knew who Jesus Christ was. How could they deny the miracles that they had seen? But they wanted the glory. They wanted the power. And their power base was about to be swept away. But they rejected him, and they reviled the crowd. And remember the scripture we read last week? Let his blood be upon us. And truly it was. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And so we find the gospel being taken unto the Gentiles. Remember Paul and Peter and others, they were sent out to all peoples. And do you remember the vision that was Peter was given of at the house of Cornelius? He was that call nothing common or unclean. They were to go out to all peoples and so on. The gospel is going to all the world. The gospel is gone on to the Gentiles. And then we find in the restoration of the house of Israel, the gospel has been amongst the Gentiles, and we needed, because of an apostasy of the original church that Jesus Christ had set up, there needed to be a restoration. And that restoration you and I are involved in very strongly today. And that restoration you and I see where the Lord's hand and His arm is being made bare in all the eyes of the nations. And His work is being done in His own time, in His own power, in His own wisdom, in His own might, as He utilizes the called, sanctified servants of the Lord. And this is what we are seeing this day before our eyes. This is the weather forecast that is true. It's not like what we find today, where they're scaring people with the forecasts that we get, and it's coming, but there's no evidence, and it bypasses the Lord's is sure, and it is true, and not just a conjuring or a guesswork. The Lord makes no guesswork. His word is sure. And these things will come to pass. And we're seeing it before our very eyes this day. And so, I would like to turn, if you will, and turn with me over 2 Nephi, chapter 6. 2 Nephi, chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. And once again, there are so many scriptures about the house of Israel and what the Lord is doing with them and where His eye is upon them and His working with them and all these things that I've only been able to scratch the surface. There's so much. And it's a wonderful study. It's a never-ending study. Now, my beloved brethren, I have read these things that you might know concerning the covenants of the Lord, that He has covenanted with all the house of Israel. He has spoken unto the Jews by the mouth of His holy prophets, even from the beginning, down from generation to generation, until the time comes that they shall be restored to the true church and fold of God, when they shall be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance, and shall be established in all their lands of promise. Behold, my beloved brethren, I speak unto you these things that you may rejoice and lift up your heads forever because of the blessings which the Lord God shall bestow upon your children. And of course, generations to come. And you know, verse 3 reminds me too, when it talks about shall be established in all their lands of promise. And so, and one thing I didn't bring to you is probably a slide or a visual. When we're looking upon the house of Israel and looking at the map and so on, that there is Joseph's land and Joseph's promise unto his seed. And we read about that in the Book of Mormon. We can read about that in Genesis in the 49th chapter. And also through the blessings of Israel. You know, the bounds of the everlasting hills and the promises given unto Israel's children before he passed on. And the land of Joseph, we find more explanation, of course, here in the Book of Mormon, where Lehi said, I am of the seed of Joseph through his son Manasseh. Okay? And so we find Manasseh's seed, which was Lehi. And this is Joseph's land that we are upon this day. Okay? The promise is given unto him. So, in all their lands of promise. Okay? But that they shall be restored to the true church and fold of God. They need to be taught all of His commandments and all of His covenants. That's why, you know, when we say, and this is, if God loved them and God loves the righteous and the pure in heart and all those things, and this is no opinion or a judgment upon any peoples, but there needed to be a restoration of what was true and the fullness thereof, which Jesus prophesied of and said is a fact in the book of 3 Nephi and many portions of the Book of Mormon. The fullness of these things. And you say, well, didn't we have that? Didn't they have that before 1830? Well, today they have upwards of 30,000 denominations all teaching many things. And there is the truth of the keys to salvation. The truth in what was spoken. And God wants His truth taught in all of it. And by those that He has sent and He has sanctified. As we're reading it in the book of John in the 15th chapter, if you want to read it. And the Lord Jesus Christ stated, "You've not chosen me." And this was He was speaking specifically to His disciples. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruits." So He chooses His own ministry. And that's the way that it is done. Okay, while we're in 2 Nephi, let's go over to chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. And here we find it once again. And I'm going to back up just a hair to verse 25. Okay? "But wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. And after they have been scattered, and the Lord God hath scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation until they be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement which is infinite for all mankind." So you talk about how important that His gospel is. If all things were acceptable, that all were being taught, then it wouldn't matter what He said. That all you need to do is just talk of Jesus Christ, and that's it. There would be nothing else to needing of His gospel, His truth and His way, and approaching Him, and all of those things. All of His covenants. But they are eternal promises that He has set forth and set in stone. And we also, here's another thing, in verse 25 talks about Babylon shall be destroyed. Now Babylon, they say, was located in modern-day Iran. In modern-day Iran, it was the rubbles of Babylon. They claimed that before Saddam Hussein was toppled, that he was trying to rebuild the cities of Babylon. He saw himself, they claim, as a modern-day Nebuchadnezzar was Saddam Hussein. And talking about, and the reason he was toppled, once again, was in, for as far as Saddam Hussein was concerned, was a lot of the divine intervention of our Father in Heaven behind the United States. And that is true. There was actually one of his Air Force generals that I went to see, Sue and I went to go see him, a man by the name of George Sada. George Sada was one of the Christians. He believed in Jesus Christ, and he was one of the men on Saddam Hussein's interior panel of ministry. And there was all his other men around there, and they were of a different faith, okay? They were of the Islamic faith, if you will, and I'm not going to go into that or whatsoever. But George Sada had a hope in Christ, and he answered according to the truth, even though he knew that it was going to cost him his head, and that was reality. And he was talking of that Saddam Hussein wanted to send all of his air force against Israel. And they all said, "Yes, we will. Yes, we can. Yes, yes, Master. Yes, yes, we will. We will do this." Because none of them wanted to lose their head. This man, George Sada, he said, knowing that he could very well be taken out and shot or beheaded the very next minute, he said, "It will be like the blind fighting those that can see." And as Saddam looked at him, he thought, "Oh, this is it. You know, I just put my I put my foot into the cow pie. And he said, what are you talking about, George? You know, and one thing he'd do was turn to this man because he knew the rest of his people were going to lie to him. But he knew this man that didn't quite fear for his life because of his hope in Christ would tell him the truth. And he said, well, let me tell you something. He said, our Air Force is equipped with radar that will only be about 15 miles. He said, the Israelis have modern technologies that can see over about 200. They will know we're coming and be prepared before we hardly leave the ground. And we'll be annihilated. And he said, there won't be one get through. But yet Saddam was even going to take and send, make sure, he says, at least maybe one will get through. But the last, they did not. And so where we find divine, there was some, in talking of the reason he was giving his speech here upon, this was the Delta Plex, was that talking about this Gentile nation being behind Israel and hoping we never lose that sight. And so that was talking about Babylon shall be destroyed. So there was a lot, there's some history there too. Okay. So verse 27 says, and when that day shall come, this is of course 2 Nephi chapter 11, they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in His name with pure hearts and clean hands and look not forward anymore for another Messiah. Then at that time the day will come that it must needs be expedient that they should believe these things. And the Lord will set His hand again the second time to restore His people from their lost and fallen state. Wherefore He will proceed to do a marvelous work and among a wonder among the children of men. Wherefore He shall bring forth His words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah who was rejected by them, unto the convince of them that they need not look any more for a Messiah to come. So we see how important the teaching of His covenants and His promises and His blessings unto His people through Jesus Christ, and that they had rejected Him. And if we take a look, like I said, in the book of Zechariah and in the book of Ezekiel in the 37th through the 39th chapters in that area, they will, when they see Him come, they will weep for Him as one that mourneth for His only Son. That's what the children of Israel shall do. And so we find, okay, if we would look forward to 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter, 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter, I need to move along. I'd like to get to the rest of our study here. In the 7th chapter, and I'd like to read verses, let's see here now. 15 through 38. 15 through 38. I think I'm going to... I'm going to read 15 through 20. But I'd like you to write down 15 through 38. And it talks about all of the Lord's other sheep. And I'm going to do this for brevity. And Jesus is speaking here, of course, and says that, and not at any time hath the Father given me commandment that I should tell it unto your brethren at Jerusalem. Neither at any time hath the Father given me commandment that I should tell unto them concerning the other tribes of the house of Israel, whom the Father hath led away out of the land. Remember the scripture that we used before, I believe it was last week, where they were scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And now Jesus says that, you know, I'm going to be visiting them too. And thus much did the Father command me that I should tell unto them that other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. If you want to take a pen down in that portion, John 10:16. Okay? I mean, I'm sorry, Mark 10:16. Mark 10:16. And now because of stiff-neckedness and unbelief, they understood not my word. Therefore I was commanded to say no more concerning this thing unto them. But verily I say unto you, that the Father hath commanded me, and I tell it unto you, that ye were separated from them because of their iniquity. Wherefore it is because of their iniquity that they know not of you. If you read the book of Jacob and the parable of the master in the vineyard, it says that the root, or the base of the tree, had become rotten because of their wickedness and their unbelief. And verily I say again that the other tribes hath the Father separated from them, and it's because of their iniquity that they know not of them. And verily I say unto you that ye are they of whom I said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I'm going to backtrack just to here. That's John 10:16. I was right the first time. They said usually your first statement is the right one. So you second guess yourself. Well, anyway. The one in Mark, I believe, was a blessing of children. That was in the back of my head. And I've been more forgetful, I think, since I shaved off my mustache. And so we find, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And they understood me not, for they supposed it had been the Gentiles. For they understood not that the Gentiles should be converted through their preaching. The writings of Paul, we can take a look at them. They were sent unto the Gentiles. But we know there's at least three or four places it talks about, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't go out to the Gentiles at that time, but the gospel would. His servants would. And so I would like to go over now, as we're in 3 Nephi 2, chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. And so we find that at this point, and through the third book of Nephi, talking about the embracing of the gospel in the latter day of the Gentiles, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we talk about actually where we are today, too, and yet into our future. And it says that if they will repent, the Gentiles, and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I... Who? Jesus Christ. I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in under the covenant, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people. Whose people? God's people. The remnant of Jacob. Okay? Upon this land, the seed of Lehi, the seed of Joseph and Manasseh, and also as many of the house of Israel shall come. And that's all the rest of the house of Israel. That they shall build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And if you want to hear more about that, take a look in the book of Ether. The book of Ether speaks of this as well. And then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I will also be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. And verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, with the Father to prepare the way whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name. Whose name? Jesus Christ. See, they're going to know who Jesus Christ is. They're going to be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how shall they be able to call upon the name of Jesus Christ? It's just like we were reading in the book of 1 John this morning when it talked about Antichrist, that he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ and not deny him. Yea, then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations in preparing the way whereby this people should be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. And we've been looking in that too, haven't we? not only their promised lands, which they don't have today, and also establishing the land of Joseph consecrated unto them here in this land. We find that work going on today, the work of Zion, the work of the foundations or the bulwarks of Zion, to proclaiming the covenants of the Lord, and to working whereby the daughters of Zion are going to be cleansed of the Lord. The daughters of Zion are being worked with this day. The Lord is making bare His arm in the eyes of all the nations this day. Whenever one of His, and the servants of the Lord fully understand that they may never come home if they go overseas or to any portion of the earth or in the name of Jesus Christ. But we see a blessing, a promise in the arm of the Lord when one of them comes back again home safely. We see it again, yet again. And so we find in this day the Lord's kindness in the yet to come. The Lord's kindness is being proclaimed this day, and it is yet coming, His promises and His covenants to be fulfilled. If you would look with me over in the first book of Nephi, page 73, this is 1 Nephi chapter 7. And I would like to read 13 through 25. Here we're finding a very important where the stage is being set, and this the Lord's proclaiming act is going on this day. It's going on as we are speaking this day. His words are being fulfilled, many of them, this day. And so we find, now, when we're looking at a scattering last time of the house of Israel, it was not only just dispersing them, wasn't it? They were going out into obscurity. Disbelief, idolatry, abomination, away from the Lord, obscurity, lack of knowledge, lack of belief, lack of blessing, obscurity and darkness. And so here we find the opposite. He says, well, I will reclaiming them. Okay, let's take a look once again here in the 13th verse. Nevertheless, after they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord has lifted up His hand upon the Gentiles and sent them up for a standard, and their children have been carried in their arms, and their daughters have been carried upon their shoulders, behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal, and thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. And it meaneth in the days to come, and also our brethren who are of the house of Israel, and it meaneth that at the time cometh that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even among the face of this land, and by them shall our seed be scattered. And that was also a truth. If you look into the history of the American Indian, and also the history of the Mexico and the conquest of Mexico, that across this whole great land, north and south, what happened to the annihilation of God's people upon this land. The Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. By them shall our seed be scattered, and after our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed. Wherefore, be likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles and being carried in their arms upon their shoulders. This we've heard since we've been children, haven't we? But in our lifetime, my lifetime, just before I was baptized into Christ and joined the Church of Christ, that I had asked an apostle of this church once, and I said these very words, and I said, how come we don't have many dark-skinned people in the church? He says, you know, I don't know yet. That's what he could say. But it wasn't within. He passed on just after that time. And it wasn't shortly thereafter that the work opened up in Africa. And I believe those to be definitely, when the Lord is working with them and gathering them and executing His power upon them, they are the covenant people of the Lord no matter what. Even if they were not part of the house of Israel. But they have found that there are those in Africa that they have been of the house of Israel. They flew them on planes back to Israel. They were proving their birthright. I believe there are many more. Maybe in India, maybe in Nigeria, maybe in the Philippines. But they're being carried upon their arms. This is what's happening today. This is what's happening in the work. We're finding the scripture to being fulfilled. It shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles, not only unto the Gentiles, but of those of the house of Israel, unto making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Remember the very beginning of our study. And I would, my brethren, that you should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed, unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, in bringing about his covenants in his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore, he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to lands of their inheritance. And I put down in my Book of Mormon, first inheritance. And here's that key word I was mentioning before earlier. They shall be brought out of obscurity, disbelief, into true worship, unto knowledge, unto light, out of darkness, unto order, out of confusion, out of darkness, he says. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior, their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. They will know the Mighty One of Israel, Jesus Christ. I would like to move along, if you will, over to Isaiah in the 54th chapter. Trying to move ahead because I have one more frame that I'd like to get to and is equally very, very important. Isaiah 54. I have to read 8 through 10. I'm going to go back to verse 7. And we take a look at what we just said about all the destruction that's happened to Israel. Wherever Israel has went, you look at where she's been driven to and fro. And so, okay, it is an example, just from a lighthearted moment. Does anybody remember the movie Fiddler on the Roof? Do you remember that one? Okay, you say, well, that sounds like a silly example. What happened at the end of that movie? They had to leave their homes and get out because they were an edict to get out. What happened to a lot of them? They left there. They left there. There was a lot of Russian Jews, Polish Jews, and a lot of them were rounded up when Hitler came to power. That's where things are happening at that time. They didn't show any of that in that show, of course, and this and that. And, so we find a lot of things that were destroyed, and a lot of them had to do with the house of Israel. It was dispersed in that area and throughout the world. We find what they happened on this continent. But we find that this was a punishment of the Lord. They shall be a hiss and a byword. Verse 7, Isaiah 54, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee or rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. And this is the house of Israel. I am going to have mercy on you as I gather you and show you my kindnesses. and regather you as my people once again, the daughters of Zion. Now the scripture that I have in 3 Nephi, chapter 10, verses 15 and 16, we will not go there this time. While we are in Isaiah, however, I'd like to go on to 35, chapter 35, 1 through 10. But please put in your notes 3 Nephi 10, 15, and 16. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and the feeble, then confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And here we find there too a portion alluding to Zechariah and to Ezekiel and the Lord's going to step in and fight for his people. And this is going to come to pass. And we've seen it shaping up, like I said, the events of this very day that we find over in Egypt. The turning away from the other portion, away from Israel, one of her supports. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The Lord's kindness upon his people. And you and I will also have a portion in this great and glorious of this work and the promises and the blessings of the Lord that he has prepared for his people and his children. And these are from the gleaning out of the earth. He said, as many of the Jews that shall not repent shall be cast off. As many of the Gentiles that shall repent are the covenant people of the Lord. And we are a part of that covenant this day. Come with singing unto Zion. This is very important that I wanted to bring out this day at the culmination of our study. And I wanted you to read with me. This is very important. And it's a similitude and a memorial unto Israel and of the children of Israel. Read with me, please. Book of Exodus in the 28th chapter. Book of Exodus in the 28th chapter. And I'd like to read verse 9. I've selected just a couple of verses out of this chapter. And read all, if you would. And this is talking about the tabernacle and the priestly work and the memorial or bearing the judgment of the house of Israel in the old covenant before the Lord. Okay? And this is it's actually very important. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, engrave on them the names of the children of Israel. Okay. Now over into verses 17 through 21 says, and thou shalt set in it settings of stone. Now there was an ephod and there was a breastplate. And the high priest wore them both. representing, both of them represented and had the names of the children of Israel upon it. Okay? And listen to this, read why. Thou shalt set net settings of stone, even four rows of stone. The first shall be a sardis, topaz, carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second shall be an emerald, sapphire, and diamond. And the third shall row a ligure, agate, and amethyst. Okay, and the fourth row, a beryl, onyx, jasper, and they shall set in gold their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name, and they shall be according to the 12 tribes. That's been our whole study, remember? On the children of Israel. Okay, this was the old covenant, and they were bearing them before the Lord temporarily in the old tabernacle. Okay? And so we find that this is to come to pass now 29 and 30, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in up unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Okay, he's bearing them before the Lord continually in the tabernacle. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Okay? So we've got that one down, don't we? Well, not exactly how it all worked, but pretty much this was representative of what happened then. Now, I want you to look with me over into Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, that Jesus, our Lord, said to one of his disciples, or to all of his disciples in his ministry, Matthew 19 and 28. And this was talking about those that have given up to go into the kingdom of heaven. A rich man will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so on. And then Peter, talking about what they've given up. He says in verse 27, Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you see the significance here? We have Aaron, with the high priest of Jesus Christ, and he was bearing the 12 tribes of Israel upon his breastplate, physically in the tabernacle. Here we find in the new covenant, that his disciples, that he had called, were going to bear the judgment of the house of Israel, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They're judged temporally, and the other judged spiritually. This is the difference between the old and the new covenant. And we find in the Book of Mormon, Mormon 1, I'm just going to state this, we won't turn there this day, and that is Mormon 1, 83 and 84, which talks about the new covenant and the 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes. And in the Book of Mormon talks about that the 12 disciples upon this land were going to judge this portion of seed, but they would all be judged by the 12 apostles of the Lamb that Jesus appointed. Here we find that similitude of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. When Aaron went into the tabernacle and he was judging, and he would bear as a memorial the judgment of the house of Israel at that time. And the ministry of the New Covenant will bear the judgment of the 12 tribes of Israel in the New Covenant. This is when the Son of God shall sit upon his rightful throne in the regeneration, as it says. And how we say, even significant, one other thing I'd like to point out, and that is if you would read with me in Revelations, in the 21st chapter. Revelations in the 20th chapter, in the 10th to the 13th verses, refined very wonderfully. Once again, this is spoken about this holy city descending down out of God from heaven to heavenly Jerusalem. And the Book of Mormon talks about the Book of Ether, which is descending out of heaven. Okay? And he carried me in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, and all the gates, 12 angels, names thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And then it talks about the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And as we were just reading about Jesus giving them authority to judge the 12 tribes of Israel and find significant, remember there were gems that were set in a breastplate and an ephod. The breastplate would kind of go around here and talks about it being attached back here and the ephod kind of being worn right here. A curious work or curious girdle and so on. And then had the onyx stones. And the others had the gems for the 12 tribes of Israel and so on. And here we find them. They were set in stone upon the walls of the great city. How that it was. The Lord says, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. For a moment I have forsaken thee, but with everlasting kindness will I gather thee. And where Jesus also mentioned, as he mentioned to them, as he was teaching them in the Book of Mormon, where I finished the covenant, where I will finish the covenant that I have given unto Abraham. And read in other portions of Scripture, says Abraham, my friend. And so, like I said, there's many things that we brought out, but yet I was only scratching the surface of this great study on the house of Israel. And you and I are living in a day that the prophets were looking forward to. We're living in that day. And the Lord said, look around and see. And this morning, I looked around and I saw. It didn't take me very long, but I looked around and I saw. And I believe there's something going on this day. And it's not yet finished this day. We're going to see it. We're going to see, I believe, the changing of a government that is going to take and be in prophecy with what's going to happen to the house of Israel. Important part. And another key and another portion of that prophecy. So I thank you for your time, for your love, and your prayers.